This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. John Bubb. How you doing, John?
Woo! 4th of July weekend, break out the booze!
4th of July weekend. We're doing the show here on the 3rd of July. Any plans, John? Are you doing anything?
Getting drunk!
I would love to see that. I would pay money, actually, to watch you on the 4th of July, just like... go total degenerate.
Oh,
like,
see, now I'm really scared if I ever visit you again, you're going to try and get me drunk.
Of course I am. Of course I'm going to do that. What do you think? What do you think, John?
I'm really going to have to wash myself.
Yeah. No,
well,
I'm actually...
You and Spencer would do that.
What are you doing for the 4th? Are you going to go see the fireworks, or...?
I'm probably just going to sit at home.
They had a fireworks show by me for the first time in years, and they do it at this place called Fort Totten. It's very close to where I live. I mean, it's walking distance. And they did not do... There's no cars that could go there because it's in... And there's no parking. So you have to either walk or take the bus. And they said something over 1,500 people showed up to the fireworks show.
Cool.
I mean, it was, like, tremendous this year. So I don't know how they made money doing it. I don't think they charged anything for it. Or if they did, they probably made a boatload of money. But I'm going upstate tomorrow. For the 4th of July, my friends, we're staying at my friend's house.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. So we thought, hey, you know what, let's do a show. Let's hang out for a little bit because I'm out of here starting tomorrow. So it was a lot of people. Before we get into the news, before we start talking about tech, there's some things I want to talk about. Something that John posted on the IAIB that I want to talk about that I found a little interesting here. But before we do that, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor, and that's Braintree. I want to tell you guys, I have gotten so many emails from our viewers that are website developers and business owners that have already implemented Braintree. So what is Braintree? It's a mobile payment system. It's for app developers. So if you're a mobile app developer, go to Braintree.com. You can check out how they do their payment solution. Companies like Uber, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, the list goes on and on. These are all companies that implemented Braintree. And the reason that they've implemented it is because it is seamless, it is totally magical, it just works. You put in a couple lines of code, and bam, you're able to accept all different types of payment methods. PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, all major credit cards, all these different payment systems. Rather than dealing with this thing and that thing and having different types of code in there, it's just one piece of code that does it. They have superior fraud protection, great customer service, and really fast payouts. And here's the thing for business owners. And if you're an app developer, I kind of suggest pushing them this way because here's the catch. If you implement this, your first $50,000 in transactions are fee-free. You do not have to give a fee. And this is how you do it. Go to braintreepayments.com/TNW. That's braintreepayments.com/TNW. You know what? Go check them out at least because it is making everybody's life a lot easier. I've seen the emails coming in from developers. I've seen the emails coming in from businesses, pre-existing businesses, new businesses that have implemented this, and they are amazed how easy it is to get it going. braintreepayments.com/TNW. I want to thank Braintree for supporting Tech News Weekly and, of course, for supporting What the Tech and the GFK Network. So, John, let's talk about a couple things here. One, okay. Let's talk about the iPhone 6S. A lot of rumors came out this week. A lot more information came out this week in regards to the next generation iPhone. We have already seen some images. Externally, it is not going to be a major difference. It's pretty much going to look exactly the same. Internally, however... Yeah. It's going to have a lot of improvements.
Well, that's sort of the norm for the middle version of a generation, you know, where we'll see, you know, the iPhone 6 will have the big, you know, cosmetic makeover, but then the next generation will have more of an internal upgrade. And it's that cycle over and over again. We've seen it with the 5 and the 5S. It was the same way. And now with the 6S, what we're looking at is possibly having a upgraded LTE modem from Qualcomm in this thing, where it will double your LTE speeds. Whereas right now, you're getting about 150 megabits per second down. And with the new chip, the new Qualcomm chip that they're going to put in the iPhone 6S, it's going to double that to about 300 megabits per second down.
So, I mean, I don't know anybody that's getting 150 megabits down currently with LTE.
No, I mean, you never get real world.
Yeah, I mean,
speed
I get
these things. So even with current technology.
So I'm on Verizon and we have XLTE, and we get about, and most I've ever gotten is 50 with XLTE. Yes. So I don't know if this is future proofing. I don't know if this is a sign that the carriers are going to implement higher speeds in the coming year. For Apple to make this jump and to implement this new chipset, that means within the next, I want to say, 14 months, we're going to see some sort of increase from the carriers.
It's possible.
Unless globally.
A lot of it is dependent on the carrier itself and their network.
I mean, do you know of any global carriers that are doing 150? Maybe in Korea? But I don't think they're on
that much attention to overseas.
You know what I mean? Like maybe in South Korea they're doing it, or I can't think of many that are. So for Apple to want to implement the new Qualcomm chipset for LTE,
but it does improve efficiency. It's more than just doubling the speed.
Yeah.
It's also improving the efficiency of the modem itself. So you're going to end up having better battery life.
Okay, so there's more to it than that.
There's more to it than just the speed increase. You're also going to get a more efficient chip, which means you end up having better battery life.
Yeah. Other than this specific chip, they said that there's going to be obviously a performance increase in CPU and video, and that overall it's going to be major improvements underneath
the
shell.
The sad thing is that it still looks like the base model is going to be 16 gigabytes.
Isn't that amazing?
They must have a whole heck of a lot of those chips.
Yeah, I cannot.
They did kind of fix the issue that everybody had with the rollout of iOS 8, where it was so big that you couldn't install it on a device that had 16 gigabytes of storage. You had to have more than that. With iOS 9, they've sort of remedied that by letting the operating system delete applications when an update is applied, and then reinstalling them automatically for you once the new operating system is installed.
Yeah, so a 9 to 5 Mac, they actually have an image of the insides of the iPhone 6S, and it's showing that it has an updated NFC chip. The base will be 16 gigs, as John said. It's a better 16 gig storage drive, which I would take a crappier 32 than a better 16. And it's going to have fewer chips, and it's going to be somewhat redesigned for efficiency on the inside.
Yeah, the internals are going to be redesigned.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at a picture here. If you go to 9 to 5 Mac, it's on the front page.
Pretty much anything that's changing in the next generation is all going to be internal.
Yeah. You know, listen, this is how it is, right? The next iPhone will be a redesign.
I'm still hoping out for the upgraded camera, because that definitely needs to be upgraded, I think.
On the base model, right? On the base iPhone 6.
No, the camera, period. From an 8-megapixel camera to like a 12 or 16-megapixel camera.
Do you think it's necessary to go that big, though?
I think for Apple it is.
Yeah, because I know that they say, you know, the size of the picture is not what makes it better. It's the overall clarity.
Yeah,
of the
but it seems like they've relied on the same exact camera module for several years now, and it seems like they could do an upgrade with that. Yes, they've had some minor lens changes with the iPhone 6, but it still seems like there could be a lot more improvement in terms of the camera.
I had a party yesterday here at my house, and almost everybody has an iPhone. I mean, it's insane, actually. I'm myself and my wife's cousin are the only ones without iPhones at this party. And I was looking at everybody's iPhone, and I did a comparison between the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, the bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
The 6 Plus's camera is far more superior than the iPhone 6.
Yeah, it also has the image stabilization, I think.
Yeah,
it's
a big difference. I mean, the iPhone 6 camera is good and all, but this is a major, major change in quality. Yeah. I was actually surprised. And even the way that it takes in the light, you know, the color reproduction is very different too. So I did not know it was that big of a difference until I actually took like the same shot, you know, with both different both phones.
Yeah.
So and it is a big phone, guys.
I'm looking forward to hearing exactly what we get with the 6S when it comes out.
Yeah, with a 6S.
I'm definitely looking to upgrade my 5. I have a 5 now. And I want a bigger device. I just want something that's going to be worth, you know, $600 to get one.
What was the improvement from the 5 to the 5S? Do you remember? It was the Touch ID, obviously. And anything else?
Yes. I think it was mainly Touch ID. I could be wrong. I think there was a few other things.
Small tweaks.
Yeah, it was all small.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about the hidden image in the next version of iTunes, with the latest version of iTunes, I should say.
Yeah, Apple released iTunes 12.2, which has all the stuff that you need for iTunes Music, because that rolled out on June 30th. Somebody discovered in iTunes 12.2, there are asset images for new iPod colors and iPod Shuffle. There's a dark blue, a gold, and I believe a pink color.
It overall looks
the
same.
That's supposed to be coming out.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is kind of hinting at a revamp of hardware as well, but on the outside, it kind of looks the same. On the inside, I don't know what the difference is going to be. Do they need... I mean, the iPhone... I'm curious on who's buying these devices, right? Like, who's buying an iPod Nano?
Yeah.
Because you probably have an iPhone if you're buying an iPod Nano. The iPod Touch, on the other hand, is an interesting little device because it's an iPhone without a radio.
Mm-hmm.
But again, who's buying this device?
I think you almost might as well just buy a freaking iPhone at this point.
For $200?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm curious. I guess these devices are no longer needed because everybody's phone is their MP3 player and media device, you know, consumption device.
It's part of it is just the delineation between the two lines, between an iPhone and an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's not that much of a difference other than the phone capability. So why go through the hassle of actually designing and selling that particular device? I know Apple is basically a device and service company, but it's one of those situations where it seems like they've given up on the iPod, and the fact that they're now going to breathe just a little bit of new life into it seems a little bit odd.
Yeah. They also are kind of generations behind when it comes to the hardware, when it comes to like cameras, you know? That's a big part in this, where the camera is a lot older than the current generation iPhone.
People buy their kids iPhones all the time these days.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a 9-year-old with an iPhone the other day.
It's ridiculous.
If you're giving your 9-year-old an iPhone, you really have no reason to get them an iPod Touch.
I can understand if you're giving them like a hand-me-down iPhone that was like your old model or something like that.
Yeah.
But to buy them a brand new one? Like, I wouldn't give a kid a brand new iPhone 6.
I would give them the highest grade phone known to man first. That's what I would do. Hey, John, let's talk about this because this is interesting. Nokia CEO says a company will design and license phones again. This has been rumored for some time. We saw stories that they're not getting in the phone business again. They are getting in the phone business. Well, it seems like they, when their deal with Microsoft allows them to do so in 2016, Nokia is planning to design and license phones again. What does this exactly mean?
What it means is that Nokia very much wants to get back into the phone business. They're going to design these phones. They're going to create the devices and then license the brand name to other companies to sell. So for example, and this is not what they're going to do, but for example, Nokia had the Lumia line. They can't use that going forward because that's a Microsoft property.
They also
now.
Cannot use their example, design. They cannot use the design.
For example,
of Lumia.
they're gonna create this brand such as the Lumia brand for devices, and they're gonna license that out where anybody else can sell the Lumia brand. So for example, if LG wanted to do something, they could go forward and buy a LG Nokia device and sell it.
Okay, so they're so let's say Suncast Inc. makes phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm another phone manufacturer, so I'm going to be able to sell the Andrew Suncast phone.
Sure.
Because Suncast is the brand that you're making. Are they also, they're making the design, but are they making the phones also now?
As far as I can tell, that's what they're going to do. I mean, basically what they say is that they would simply design them and then make the brand name available to license. That's as far as we know.
Okay. And I'm sure
now,
this
whether
is
that
be...
actually includes the hardware itself, but I'm assuming that that encompasses the design of the device itself.
Because if you're licensing phones, that's pretty much what you're doing is you're selling your brand, like a Kodak.
Yeah.
Right? Like Kodak no longer makes cameras. But there are Kodak cameras out there.
There are companies out there that create white label products.
White label products, and they slap the Kodak brand on them, and you know, now it's a Kodak. But it's not really Kodak. They're just licensing the name.
Right.
But what Nokia seems to be doing is they're going to design and license. So you know what? That to me means if you're LG... you are going to, if you're LG, you're going to go and get this design reference from them and then license it with the Nokia brand, like, you know, the Nokia name for that phone. Pretty much what it means.
Right.
Which may not be a bad thing, you know? I don't know if who wants to do business
with
them.
I mean, Nokia has made some really nice devices in the past with Lumia.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately.
Windows Phone, so.
Yeah, but unfortunately... Microsoft owns those designs.
And unfortunately, Microsoft doesn't seem to be wanting to do crap with it. They just want to put out these little crappy low-end devices.
Yeah, and that's a frustration for a lot of people. You know what, John? I would say wait till October.
It's sad because it feels so much like Microsoft has run the brand into the ground by not refreshing it and keeping it updated.
Okay, so from what I have seen and heard, and this is not from Paul Thurrott, I'm just putting it out there. They are in a limbo period right now with Windows 10. They mm-hmm. want to get Windows 10 ready. And Windows 10 for desktop and tablets will be here in 20 days, 20-something, 23 days, 24 days. So they want that to go get out of the way. Then they're going to concentrate on the phone. Once the phone is ready, they're going to unveil their flagship. And from what I've seen and heard, it's going to be a flagship phone. It's going to be a high-end Lumia device.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be their flagship phone for the next year. They just need to get the operating system ready. They've been playing catch-up. Normally, how Apple does it, they kind of do everything at the same time. You know, so they announce iOS 9, and they show it. And when iOS 9 is dropping, you know that there's going to be a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is on a very different cycle.
Microsoft is on a much slower cycle.
Yeah, so I think with Windows 10, it's going
to feel like they've had missed opportunities to release devices. Like, it's been a good 2 years since we've seen a decent flagship device, in my opinion.
You know what? Like, I'll give an example.
And their marketing for stuff just really has not been great.
Well, the Verizon got the Icon, the Lumia Icon, which is a beautiful device.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great device. But at this point, it's over a year old. It's an outdated device. Who's going to go and buy that? If you go into a store and you see Windows Phone, these are older devices.
I mean, a lot of this comes down to perception, and this is a proven case when you look at BlackBerry and the life cycle of BlackBerry devices. They were in limbo for so long that everybody just started passing them by. Even if they came out with something, the perception of BlackBerry now is that they're a dead brand.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
Microsoft has a similar perception as far as Windows Phone goes in the mainstream market. I mean, there are going to be those Windows Phone enthusiasts and Windows fanboys that are going to, regardless, not see it that way. But there's going to be a large amount of people that say, well, we've seen all these devices from Android come out, and we've seen all these devices from Apple come out. Where's all the new devices from Microsoft and Windows Phone? There's barely any.
Yeah. So with BlackBerry, it's fascinating because, you know, the BlackBerry comment is kind of one of the things that got me in trouble with our review units that we would get. We used to get review units from a carrier, and the carrier got a little upset when we started being a little too honest about the products, which we've never lied. I think the HTC One was one thing that was a nail in the coffin. But with BlackBerry, my response was, this is a phenomenal phone. I said, what was it? The BlackBerry? Which one was it, John?
Z10.
The Z10. Great phone, very good camera, but it's over. They're not going to be able to capture this market at this point. They were done, and it was disappointing to see because they had a great phone. But the problem was
it was so late to market.
The ecosystem was very small. They were late to market, and the brand was already uncool.
Yeah,
you cannot compete with an iPhone if you're BlackBerry. So, I mean, I know that the last Z version, whatever it was, I can't remember what it was. Great phone. Very good phone. There's nothing I can say bad about the phone, but it was too late. The same thing, I mean, the Palm Pre, remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that phone came out a year prior, it would have been all the talk. It was the problem was it came out at the time when everything was going to become the iPhone killer, the next iPhone killer.
Right.
Public perception is 90% your battle. If people think you are not as good as the competition, if people think that you are not good at all, guess what? You are not good at all, no matter how good your company is. And that is kind of the struggle that Windows has with the Windows Phone series, the Windows Phone lineup. They're very good phones.
Absolutely.
The design is very unique, beautiful design. The ecosystem is growing.
At least when Nokia did it.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Nokia. I'm talking about the Lumia lines, right? I'm talking about I mean, all of them. Even the lower-end phones, John, are nice phones. You know, they feel better than a cheapo Motorola. But when you get blackballed into this label of being lower end, it's a cheapo phone, it's a contract free phone. There's no apps,
which is what Microsoft has been doing
because it's working for them. That's where they're making their money. Because that's where they're making their money with this phone. They're not making it on the high end; they're making it on the low end. So, but public perception is that there's no apps. You know, Brian Monroe, for example, in a chat room. Regular of the GFK network says it's over for a Windows phone. There's no apps and never will be. That is not very true. There is more apps than ever before. Almost every single major application is on there. The apps are very well designed now, but he is true in that sense that is his perception because that's what it was for many, 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 you know, for about 3-4 years now. That has been the perception of this because you are comparing it to an ecosystem like the iPhone or Android. The Google ecosystem, which is flourishing every day and getting better and better. It's an uphill battle when you are being compared to the two giants. You know who – I was thinking about this, John. Like, let's talk about for a second. Let's talk about people who jump ship, right? I'm in this weird limbo where I'm in every ecosystem and it hurts me at times. And here's where it hurts me. I use iMessage on my laptop.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody iMessages me. If I go out, they don't know. I don't get those messages on my phone, on my Android phone.
Yep.
But iMessage is so convenient for me because everybody that I know is using, iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Messages app, I also plug in my Gtalk, my Google chat. So that's how I talk to people on Google. This is my application for talking to people. You can plug in AIM if you want. You can plug in everything.
I find Gtalk so weird.
It's weird. It is weird because it pops up. There's no application. It's a whole thing. But I do all my messaging on this one application on the Mac.
Huh.
When I leave, I have to now message people with a different application. So guess what? Another contact comes up for me. They don't know where to message me.
Yeah.
So, but that would be... That problem would not exist if I had an iPhone, right? I would still use the messaging app, and I would still do all the messaging the same exact way that I'm doing it.
You could remedy that by having an iPhone as your main device. I mean, you could still carry an Android or a Windows phone as a secondary device.
I could do that. Or I could carry an iPhone as my secondary device and just use it for the messaging. But
yes.
Here's the other thing.
You get an iPod Touch and leave it on Wi-Fi.
I use Skype, right? Skype is implemented within Windows Phone, but it's an application on everything else. Some people I Skype with. It depends what your ecosystem is, you know? Like, I'm all over the place. So for me, it's very difficult. And if I leave, like, I want to get a new laptop, and I want to start using Windows 10 when Windows 10 comes out. I want that to be my regular device for a good 4 months. It's going to be very difficult for me to do that because I use iMessage so often to communicate with people. Because I cannot do that on Windows. You can't iMessage people on Windows. So for me, that's an issue. Because that's an issue, I've gotten used to being everywhere and I find workarounds. But most people are not going to jump ship. You know, the fact that you could iMessage your relatives is more of a it's plenty of a reason to just stay in the iOS ecosystem.
That's one of the reasons why I did ultimately end up going with iPhone is that the rest of my entire family basically had an iPhone.
As an iPhone.
It was just easier because we all had iPhones. There's something to be said just for that alone is the fact that whatever the majority of your friends have, it's just easier if you all have the same thing to communicate.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So for me to jump ship and make my everyday, you know, if I go into I'm a regular person, I'm a regular Joe Schmo, I go into Verizon, my contract is up, then I have an iPhone. The conversion rate is going to be very difficult for me to go to an Android or go to a Windows phone because you're so committed that that one tiny little thing, that stupid messaging feature, is more than enough for most.
And see, that's kind of where I'm at too. It's like, you know, I'm not on a contract right now. I could go Android, Windows phone, whatever. But to simply move even from iPhone to one of those new platforms, I mean, this is not the case for everybody.
Yeah.
Other people will find it a much easier move. But for me personally, it would be a difficult move to go to either Windows Phone or Android.
I actually, you know, I've changed my tune about Android. I'm actually really enjoying having Android on a phone that actually works really well. You know, it still has its clunkiness. When an application is crashing, it works for me. I've gotten really used to Android, and I actually like my phone a lot. It's a higher end Android phone. It's a flagship phone. I don't have to deal with all the issues. But for me to jump ship now, it's not going to happen. I'm never going to jump ship to an iPhone. So that's my rant about this, John. You want to go into another story?
Yeah. I really want to talk about the Amazon Treasure Truck.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
I don't know if you saw this story, but it was a little bit bizarre. Apparently,
so I had no idea what it was until you posted that, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. It's like a Woot type deal, right?
A what?
Woot.
Woot? Oh, the website
Woot? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like a physical version of that, though. The Amazon Treasure Truck, think of it as an ice cream truck for Amazon deals.
An ice cream truck.
Yes. It's basically for a killer deal. Starting last weekend in Seattle, you'll be able to see the Treasure Truck's daily deal on Amazon's mobile shopping app. And then you can pick a time and a place to meet up with the Treasure Truck and then purchase that item. Basically, you can purchase it all online through the application, but you just set up an appointment with the Treasure Truck to actually grab whatever item that it is that you purchased.
So where are they doing this?
They are doing this right now only in Seattle.
Only in Seattle. So the concept is this is a like a food truck that drives around with merchandise in it.
Yeah.
And how many of each item do they have on there?
It doesn't say. But for example, their first offering is a $99 Solstice Bally paddleboard set, which typically retails for $480.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal.
That's a phenomenal deal.
I'm going to pull up the website here. Treasure Truck.
But it's just a very odd way of doing business, I guess, especially for a company that's so immersed in e-commerce online.
So here, let's see if I can pull this up here. So here's the website here. So stand-up inflatable paddleboard set. It's $99, originally $476. And then it shows coming soon, so they have a limited edition candle holder. And then look at this, porterhouse. You can buy meat on this truck.
Holy cow.
Two prime 24-ounce porterhouse steaks, which for just $20, that's $10 a steak. That is actually an obscene deal.
Yeah.
Here's that's what the a truck really looks good deal. Like. If anybody's interested, that's what the truck looks like. It's driving around Seattle with stuff.
It's so
in it.
Weird looking.
It is really weird looking, but I think this is a cool little project that they're doing. You know, can you imagine in Manhattan, you get like 10 of these trucks just driving around the city?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's, right now they're just focusing on the popular neighborhoods, which I guess interprets to be, you know, the neighborhoods where they actually have a lot of Amazon customers.
How would they do? I guess it's old. Yeah.
But it's weird, though, in the fact that you have to set up a predetermined time and place to collect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is that you purchase.
It's a little old school for Amazon.
Yeah.
Listen, they're trying new stuff, right? Maybe the drone thing's not going
to
work out.
It doesn't actually drive to wherever I am. I actually have to still go to wherever the truck is.
Yeah.
So it's more of a mobile warehouse in the sense where it doesn't necessarily come to you, but it's still somewhat mobile.
Yeah, I had a discussion with someone about Amazon today, and I was explaining to them that I pretty much buy everything on Amazon. Like, I buy cleaning products on Amazon. Like, I don't go to the store anymore for any of this stuff because it's cheaper on Amazon in some scenarios, and it's good products, and it shows up at my door. I know when it's going to show up. I know who's going to have it. I know it's going to arrive on time. I just don't shop in a store anymore unless I have to. If I could buy beer on Amazon, I would.
What's that term? Agoraphobia? Is that it?
Agoraphobia. I'm afraid of getting gored.
You're technically a agoraphobe, where all you do is you stay inside. You don't really like to leave.
I actually leave
a
lot.
You know, online you would.
I leave my house a lot. I just, why am I going
to
waste my time?
You leave your house to go to press and drink. That's about all you do.
That is about all I do.
That's about the only time you would ever leave your house.
You know what? I want that on my tombstone, John. When I die and you have to do you're going to get up and do a speech. You're going to do a eulogy. You're going to say, that's all this man did. He just got up and he went to press and he got drunk and then he came back and then he just played radio.
Unless just drags you out, which
he is tomorrow. So I'm going upstate for 2.5 hours. I'm driving to go sit in the country. No idea
where
I'm.
You're also a little bit whipped.
Well, you know what? You're married. And that's what you do. You go and you do things together. That's how life works. Go into another story, John, and we'll wrap it up.
So let's talk about the fact that Google Music has kind of revamped themselves, and they're now offering a free ad streaming option for Google Music.
They are, yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but this is very interesting now that basically they're trying to compete with Spotify, iTunes Music, RDO, and all of those type of places where all you do is you listen to like one or two ads before music starts playing, and then that's it. You can basically listen to any of the 30,000 or whatever songs that Google Music has.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I don't really care for Google Music. I'm going to be honest.
It's
I really
set up
use
much
it.
Like a Pandora is, where it has stations based on artists, which I find much more interesting than Spotify.
See, I like the shuffle concept. I don't want to hear the songs that I only have. Or I only like. I want to experience new bands. I want to hear new music. I want to, you know, I like the radio kind of shuffle playlist.
I get that on Google Music. I just want to be able to say, all right, I like this kind of music. Play anything that falls within that line.
Yeah.
And Google Music does do that, and so does Pandora.
Yeah.
The difference is that Google Music has a much bigger library.
Yeah, listen, this is going to be one of those things where there's, you know, 5,000 different services, and they're going to have their own customers, and Apple now has theirs.
The problem that I find with Spotify is that Spotify, the playlists aren't updated very often, once a week if that, and then I'll only like maybe a third of the songs in a playlist.
Yeah, the playlist, that is a problem. Like if you listen to like top U.S. hits for the week,
yeah,
it's the same thing every week.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they're going true based then on the Billboard charts. But.
I like so few songs in the playlist that it's not worth it for me.
Yeah.
I just want to say, all right, I like these type of artists. Play stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a band that I've never heard of before. I mean, you get that to a degree on Spotify, but there's just still so much stuff that it'll play that does not fall into what I like.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, if Spotify was mixed with a Pandora or a Google Music where it did a little bit more of the curation based on what you actually like, I'd probably pay for Spotify.
See, I do. I pay for Spotify because I like to have it everywhere.
I can't justify it based on not liking it enough. That's my whole problem is I like Spotify, but not enough to pay for it because it doesn't play enough music that I like.
Hmm.
And it's so difficult to find the playlist that has music that I like. Whereas I don't find I have that big of a hurdle with Google Music and finding the music that I like. Sure, Google Music does play stuff that I don't like, but it's a much closer match to my musical taste than it is Spotify.
That's interesting. That's really interesting, actually, that it's like that for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit more flexible with my music. I want to experience new stuff. I want to play around with new stuff. So for me...
I do, too. I love hearing new music. And I love finding new artists. The problem is actually finding that music that actually falls within my musical taste. And Spotify just... Their playlists are a little bit more all over the place than I would like.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, I totally get it. Totally get it. All right, John. Time to wrap it up. It is the 4th of July weekend. Everybody's going to go out. Everybody's getting hot dogs and hamburgers, and they're barbecuing. It's a whole thing happening here in the States. I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. If you're from Canada, happy belated Canada Day. Is there anything else coming out? When is Bastille Day?
Bastille Day?
Yeah, for the French.
I don't know.
Guys, have a safe weekend. Have a healthy weekend. Eat as much as you want. Drink as much as you want, but don't hurt yourself. I'm going to be driving upstate early tomorrow morning. John, have a happy 4th.
Yep,
me too. I want to thank our sponsor, Braintree, for supporting Tech News Weekly, braintreepayments.com/TNW. Go there, check it out, sign up. Help us out, guys. Also, subscribe to the podcast, and we'll see you all next week. Take care.